Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer as we commit these minutes to Him. Open our hearts, Father, to Your Word and speak into them this morning by Your Spirit, that our lives might be changed in glad surrender to doing Your will. Amen. Clive and Frank were marooned on an island. Clive was pacing back and forth, anxious, worried, fearing that they would never be found. Frank, however, was sitting back and tanning himself in the sun, enjoying the warmth. "Hey, Frank, don't you care that we could actually die on this island and never be found?" "No," said Frank. "I make $100,000 a week and I tithe 10% to my church every week. My pastor will find me." Your congregation is listening to its pastor one Sunday morning, and he's speaking on Isaiah 6, verse 8, "Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?" And the pastor relates how long ago, "Lord, send me." He tells the congregation, "But I cannot do it without you. Nor can I do all that my wonderful Lord has called me to do without Dove One, a Gulf Stream jet worth over $30 million. The pastor asks for 6,000 pledges of more than $1,000 each, and he tells them that anyone who gives $1,000 or more will receive a model of Dove One. And what is more, you can have your name inscribed inside the superjet with your name in there. Well, anyway, another pastor gets up and enthusiastically he promises promotions, miracles. He promises cars in return for giving by faith. Buckets go down the rows, the offertories are taken up and the songs are being played. "All I have is yours. Giving it all to you. Freely you have received, freely give." Well, by year's end, the money is raised. And going forward about 6 months, the pastor goes home one Sunday evening to his $10 million mansion in California, and he looks over the sea. He looks at the garages and he sees all his expensive cars in the garages. And there is his private jet. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at generosity, giving, Christian generosity, and Richard from Acts 4 was looking at that early church and the ideal picture of mutual care for one another so that no one in the congregation was in need. And then Stephen last week was sharing with us about, from Matthew 6, about the eternal treasure that we are to seek after and not to be so preoccupied with the things of this world. This morning, it's generosity to your pastor. Galatians chapter 6. Our usual practice, you know, is to take a book of the Bible, to break it up into sections, to go and verse by verse each Sunday. And so if you're sort of thinking, well, what happened to Galatians 1 to 5, if you've been coming, you know, really regularly, well, don't worry, we haven't actually looked at Galatians 1 to 5. Typically in November, this is a sort of our generosity month, where we encourage generosity in our thinking. Well, you will be pleased to know this morning that I'm not actually going to be asking you to give for my private One Dove jet for next year, although Richard may be for his next junket, pastoral trip. The key verse I just want to focus on with you this morning is from Galatians 6, verse 6. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Just to set that verse in context, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatian churches. They're the churches that have believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But agitators have come into the congregation and they have said that Paul is really defying what the apostles in Jerusalem are teaching. He goes against them. And so they're undermining him and they are undermining his message that it isn't just simply about justification by faith alone, that you Gentiles need to be circumcised. And so you're adding something to that gospel. And Paul says, no, no, that is not the gospel. Christ has set you free. If you go that way, you will be returning to slavery. No, Christ has set you free. Live in the freedom that Christ has won. Live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Truly spiritual people serve one another in love. And so in Galatians 6, we have these sort of series of exhortations doing that. That truly spiritual people restore one another from sin, bear each other's burdens, consider each other more important. True spiritual people share with one another. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Notice how this is about receiving the word. When people come together, we are instructed in the word. We receive it from an instructor, a teacher. It's to catechize the word, catechize. It's a bit like when I'm at the table at home and it's meal time. I've got the kids around the table and we're before that moment of jelly and yogurt and I am seeking to catechize. And what I'm doing is I'm opening up the Bible, I read a small section of it, and I'm asking them questions. What does this tell me about God? Or what is this saying to us about how we can live God's way in the world that he made? I'm asking them questions and I'm expecting them to give me an answer. And by the way, Dad, this is just a plug. Keep on instructing your children. How do you do that? Paul writes in Ephesians 6:4, instruct your kids in the things of the Lord. You don't want to outsource that responsibility and they aren't too young and it's never too late to start. And ladies, gently encourage your husbands, the father of your children, in case they need reminding. We don't lose the plot on that, do we? So Sunday morning comes and you make it to church here and perhaps it's been a bit of a rush to get here. And you've had a row in the car on the way. And there's kind of been a church car park conversion and walk through the door of the church. And maybe you're the person who's had that disappointing news this week and it's been a hard, really hard week. Maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe you're suffering the consequences of the night before. No sympathy. And then Richard gets up. And he's giving instructions from the Word of God about giving into God's kingdom and being generous. And it isn't automatic that we're going to be receivers of that instruction, is it? I know my sinful heart will just sort of block things out. I'm too tired, too troubled. I'm thinking about other things. And there's Satan, he's trying to distract, casting doubts about that instruction. Just raising this because we do want to be good receivers of his word, the instruction we receive. It isn't sort of an automatic thing. Hearing the sermon doesn't mean we necessarily receive it. Taking notes can help. Praying beforehand, you come to church, that's a good thing to do. Looking at the passage throughout the week prior to coming is a good thing to do, and I know that a number of our Bible study groups do that. Why don't you set up an arrangement with someone so that after the service you meet up and you just spend a few moments just thinking about what was it in the sermon that was instructing you and helping. Someone told me last week that they do download the sermons from our website, and they have that on their iPod and they listen to them through the week. Just some of the ways that we can be good receivers of the instruction in the Word. But there's another way as well, and it's giving good things. Just have a look again at verse 6 there. Anyone who receives instruction in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. There's a responsibility of sharing and receiving in the Word, isn't there? The idea of contributing. I completed 4 years of training at Moore College. And I came out of college and I was given a position as an assistant minister with a congregation. After about 2 years, the money had declined to a point where I had a meeting with the minister and a warden one Monday morning to tell me that I had to find another position. Kathy and I had been married not even 6 months. And at our farewell Sunday, one of the members of the congregation came up to tell me that he thought that the collection, the offertory that was taken up on Sunday morning, was so that the poor people in the area would be looked after. A few years later, someone in my year at college became a senior minister. We used to meet up a bit to pray together and to just catch up about how things were going. And after about 4 years in the parish, he told me that someone was threatening him to stop giving to the work of the church. If my friend didn't reverse some decisions, he would stop. Now, this guy was a substantial giver in the congregation. My friend had been trained, he'd been thoroughly assessed for ministry, he'd been ordained and recognised by the church, the denomination, but the stress took its toll. The giving went sharply south, and a bishop intervened. My friend was told to step down. And he and his family had to move, and he is no longer in full-time paid ministry. It's a hard subject to talk about. Paul obviously needed to do so to the Galatians in chapter 6. This is far more profound than some random chucking some dollars in the plate every now and again. This is about partnership. This is about an investment. This is about the congregation sharing good things with those who instruct them in the Word so that they can be released from other responsibilities. The minister's role can be really open to abuse. Ministers spend so much time on their own and can do that and get very lazy and indolent, pursuing other interests. And where is the accountability? Someone described their minister like this: invisible 6 days of the week, incomprehensible on the seventh. There's church leader Simeon Stylites, who lived in Syria in the 5th century, and in order to sort of become a bit invisible and removed from his congregation, he decided to erect a pole. And on the top of that pole, he put a platform, and he sat up there for about 6 years, away from the responsibilities down below. But he really reached new heights when he decided that it was time for a building extension program. And he raised the pole, it is believed, to 60 feet above the ground. And legend has it that Simeon Stylites became the pole-sitting champion of the 5th century in Syria. Now, I'm just not sure how well his sermons were going to be received from up there, 60 foot above the ground. But they certainly reached new heights. Now, you could support your ministers like that, couldn't you? I'm not sure how advisable it is. You want them on the ground. You want them out at ivory towers. Now, Paul describes the principle of sharing with the minister like this from Galatians 1, verse chapter 9. And I've printed it for you on the outline. I wonder whether you'd like to open it up with me. Just have a look at what he says here. 1 Corinthians 9, and verse 7. He says, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of its milk? It's just sort of plain common sense, isn't it? You do those things. Then someone who provides for those who teach is also in line, isn't it? He goes to then the law, quoting from Deuteronomy 25, verse 4. In verse 9, he says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Terrible cruelty, isn't it, to expect that ox to go treading out the grain and getting the produce and don't allow it to feed on what it's treading. You know, that's animal cruelty. He wouldn't allow that. Then verse 10, he says, well, surely he says this for us, you see. Verse 11, if we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it not too much if we reap a material harvest from you? Then he goes to the temple in verse 13. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? And he's referring to the priests as the sacrifices came in, and the priests got their food from those sacrifices, as well as the first fruits of the harvest. Verse 14, he says, in the same way the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel receive their living from the gospel. Don't muzzle the ox while it threshes. Don't deny the labourer who is worthy of the wages. And don't neglect the living to those who preach the gospel. Part-time is possible. It's not ideal. I don't want to sort of be at home and sort of try to zap something together in a sort of a part-time basis and serve it up. I want to take the long cook approach. Christmas dinner, turkey. Time to get the best out of it, isn't it? It takes time. And ideally, preparation to preach is not part-time. It takes time to read the text and to work out what it's saying. It takes time to read commentaries on the text. It takes time to organise the material and time to think of illustrations. It takes time to come up with a jolly decent title for the sermon that isn't too boring. And then time to rehearse it and think it through and practice and so forth. There are some preaching geniuses. The ministry staff and a few other local ministers had that privilege last week. But most of us are mere mortals, and we can't just simply sort of whip something up Sunday to Sunday. Even the great ones need to be devoted themselves to this preparation to get it right. I know there are some churches where the pastor works 4 days a week and the other days are used to sort of minister in the congregation. And then there are theological graduates who come out of college and they're stacking shells to earn some income as they seek to plant a church. And then there are farming communities where things can be really tough and they just can't afford to have someone full time. And speaking to many of you as I do, I know that so many of you are working long hours. Long hours. And when I ask you about your work, I already know what you are going to say. I'm very busy. I want you to know that whatever contribution you are making to the life here and service to the church is so very much appreciated by the staff. I also want you to know that there can be a zillion things that will come along to challenge a minister's preparation for instruction on Sunday. As the church grows, there are more demands on the time, there are more ministry opportunities, there's more pastoring, there's more visiting, there's more follow-up, more meetings, more organising. And so many of you share with the staff in that. So that just a few of us can give ourselves full time to it. And I want to say thank you. Our Sydney Diocese sets the terms for the church to supply the good things for ministers. And it is very generous. My family lives in a lovely home that is supplied by our church. Thank you. Thank you for the repairs and the improvements that some of you have done to that home. And even someone has donated an air conditioner, saw the need and did that. Curtains were recently fixed. The front door has a new lock on it, replaced. And even before we arrived, new carpet was laid throughout the home. We receive a stipend, a ministry expense allowance, a superannuation. We are financially looked after. So we don't have to go and work to earn income and then try to instruct in the word to a congregation. Kathy and I are so very grateful. Some of you will know that we started coming to St. Stephen's a few years ago. We moved to Mittagong under fairly difficult circumstances. The senior minister at the previous church felt that he didn't need me on the staff anymore. And so we moved to Mittagong. We wanted our children to be continuing in the school they were at, and I didn't have a job. We rented a home in Queen Street, and someone from the previous church paid the bond for us. The senior minister treated us like a human resource. We'd been hung out to dry. I managed to find work as a kitchen hand. I mean, I'd had lots of experience washing dishes over the years, and I learned how to do it fast, really fast. And it was a great experience. And then my family started coming to St. Stephen's, and Richard gave me some funerals to do. People kept dying. And we talked about ministry at Colovale. And for about 3 months, I tried a service at Colovale. We started on a Saturday afternoon, and I could only give part-time attention to it. It was fun, but it was tough. Some people started coming, and we still would love to see something thriving up there one day. But then from the beginning of 2015, Richard asked me to join the staff team here full-time, and once again, we were given the privilege of receiving good things from the church as I give myself to sharing in the work of instructing. This church picked me up, took me into its heart, and got me on my feet again. So you know why I appreciate being in full-time paid ministry. And although that's been setbacks, it is a joy. And I want to say, if I haven't expressed that enough, I'm sorry, but it is. It's exhausting, it's emotionally stressful, it's spiritually tough. And I wouldn't want to compare it with other forms of work. Preparing to preach, instructing the word takes time, and I want to thank you for your faithful support and appreciation to receive the word. We don't charge for Sunday services, and we don't fleece the flock. Those who instruct are supported by the voluntary gifts of God's people. Thank you. Thank you for sharing the good things with us. At its heart, this is each one of us sharing in the progress of the Word, each one committed to that cause. Well, the pastor stood before his congregation and he said, I have bad news, good news, and bad news. Well, the congregation went quiet. The bad news is the church needs a new roof. And the congregation groaned. The good news is that we do have the money for the new roof. There was a sigh of relief from the congregation. But the bad news is it's still in your pockets. Well, new roofs are important. New roofs are important. And so are the occasional building extensions to buildings here. But what is most important is what continues inside and under them. When you are gripped by what that is, and when you know how wonderful the Word of God is to change people's lives, and when you know that our Lord Jesus Christ is building his house here, and how he uses people to do that, even those who have been set aside full time to do it, can you give very gladly, so very gladly, into that? Anyone who receives instruction in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. Lord, I thank you so much for the fellowship in the giving and receiving of the Word, Sunday by Sunday, and the generosity of your people to support the work as they share all good things with those who instruct. What a privilege. Continue to make us all generous so we might give in order to receive, and so might there truly be a spiritual harvest reaped to your praise and glory. Amen.